At the conclusion of this service, we are going to have a short business meeting. I kind of mentioned a little bit on Sunday morning on our opportunity in Janesville. And so I want to take and bring this before the congregation officially. And so if you're wondering, can I stay for the business meeting? Everyone's welcome to stay. But we only, when it comes to voting members, you have to be a qualified voter in order to vote on any financial issues. I feel that it's only fair that those that are qualified to vote and support the church should have a say where the money goes. And if you aren't qualified, then you need to get qualified. So Pastor Seidel is in his office, and the ushers, if you have a question on whether or not you're a qualified voter or not, don't feel embarrassed. You could make your way out. Brother Ward Meyer can get you over to Brother Seidel's office, and he'll go through the qualifications, and they have a list of all of our qualified voters. So if you're curious on that, or if you're wondering if you're a qualified voter or not, you can make your way over. And it's not a big deal. It's not like an interrogation session or anything like that. They just go over with you. So with that, we're going to go ahead. We have Sister Kasky, who's not feeling well tonight. Some sinus and cold flu issues. Sister Victoria Smith as well is not feeling well. She's got a lung issue. And let's just pray for these sisters, and let's pray for this service and for this business session. Lord, we thank you for this day. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. I pray, God, for our sisters that are not feeling well tonight, Sister Kasky and Sister Smith. Pray, God, that your hand would be upon their bodies. We pray, Lord, for this service. We pray for our worship. We pray for our business session. We pray for the ministry as the word goes forth, that you would be with us here tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. If you're guests of ours, we just want to welcome you to Calvary Gospel Church. This is our Wednesday night. It's a Bible study tonight, so it's a little bit more informal than our Sunday morning services. But if you're here, and we would love to be able to take and connect, we have out in the kiosk, they have a sign in, and we'd like to just get a few points of information, and they have a small gift card for you. And or you can go on to our website, and you can go there and follow the prompts that are on the screen, bit.ly/connect2CG, and that will get you there as well. We also have some giving options, and I think most of us are familiar with this. We have a box out in the kiosk if you want to deliver in person, but also you can go to our website, you can mail it, or you can go onto our church app. And I do strongly suggest, I know some folks are a little bit stubborn with not wanting to get the church app, but what that does is that allows you access to not just giving, but it also allows you access to the church calendar. Any special events that are coming up, if you're in a connection group, you can have your connection calendar on there so you know when your next event is coming up. And it's just a good way to keep track of each other and chat with each other and all kinds of cool stuff. So if you're not familiar on how to do that, Pastor Phil Demas is our tech pastor here, and he will gladly walk you through that process. So, and then we have Broadfest. Our church is a sponsor of Broadfest, and we have a lot. Broadfest works all volunteers. How it works is we sign up, and if you want to sign up to work at Broadfest, they pay, because everyone that works there is part of some nonprofit, and there's all kinds of churches and all kinds of nonprofit groups that work to make Broadfest happen. They pay us a per dollar. So if Brother Carey and Sister Debbie Millen wanted to work at Broadfest, they could go sign up and they could say, we want our proceeds to go to Janesville outreach. So they could work for 3 days at Broadfest, bring down $300-$400, and that money would be dispersed to the church, and we would disperse that directly to the Janesville outreach. That's how it works. That's how quizzing gets a lot of their funds. That's how the youth, that's how our whole entire hyphen team went to a conference recently, and everything was paid for because everyone worked and pitched in at Broadfest. So this is a chance that we can take and really help the ministries or your ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church. Now, the couple that's in charge of this are Tim and Kim Knopp. They've been overseeing this. They work directly with the family that runs Broadfest, that the Metcalf family that owns, used to be Century Metcalf, but now it's Metcalf Market, I believe, over on the west side, Hilldale. So I'm looking at it in my mind, but I'm trying to put streets. So over in Hilldale area, and we've worked with them for a number of years on this. So that's coming up, actually, Memorial Day weekend, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then next week, the church office will be closed because the pastoral staff will be at our yearly, we have a district, Wisconsin District Conference, and that will be next week in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. So we will all be gone from Tuesday through scattered Thursday, Friday. Some of us will be there longer depending on what our meeting workload is. So with that, if you'd like to stand, we're going to just go into a little period of worship here, and Sister Abby is going to lead us in worship. God bless you. A beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord in this place. Some of you may have come in a little late. You can be seated. And at the conclusion of this service, the preaching here, we're going to transition into a business meeting. And we have an opportunity in Janesville. And I mentioned this to all of the folks that were here on Sunday morning. And we want to take and share this with you. And then we're going to do a little business. But in order to participate in the voting process, you need to be a member of Calvary Gospel Church. Now you may say, well, what does that mean? I want to try to make this real simple. I don't want anyone to feel ostracized or what, but, my wife and I, about 35 years ago, signed up at Senex's store there in Cottage Grove to purchase propane for our home. And we got an account there, and we started buying propane two or three times a year. They would fill our tank up, and then I got an account at the gas island there, and they have a little convenience store and a hardware store. At the end of the year, much to my surprise, I got a little packet in the mail, and it had a check for 51 cents. Still remember, because I laughed, 51 cents. And that was a dividend check, because I bought into the co-op, I received a dividend. Now, that was 35 plus years ago, and last year, it's no longer Cenex, it's called Alcevia, and we got our dividend check, and I mean, it was a nice size dividend check. And what happened is, just because over the years, you just end up with more dividends. I don't know exactly how many or what we have, but we're invited to the annual shareholders meeting. And we get that. When I got a check for 51 cents, I got an invitation with this big packet to the annual shareholders meeting. And here I'm getting dividend checks in the thousands, and I'm still getting the same packet of information. So it doesn't matter whether you just started your journey here at Calvary Gospel Church and you've paid tithes for 2 weeks and you've signed a membership covenant, or if you've been here for 40 years, it doesn't matter to us. You have the right to have a voice in a business meeting. So that's why I want to make sure that so when we get into the business portion, if you have not signed a membership covenant and you have questions about this, Brother Seidel is in his office. He's right in the back right now. You can just feel free to just excuse yourself. Go ask a few questions. It's not going to be a hurtful process. We just want everyone involved. If you're eligible to be involved, we want you to be involved because you've earned it. It's part of the body. This is how it works. And you should be involved. Now, if you are a member and we finish the service and you're like, yeah, I don't want to stick around for this, I want to bail, you should be here to help conduct the business of the church, because this is what it's all about. So with that, we're just going to transition right in. We're doing our series on the battle for the mind. I started a message on Sunday morning, and I didn't get through all of it, and I may not get through all of it tonight. I don't want to rush this. But we're talking about the struggle for the mind, the battle for just, we talk about a lot about physical health. You know, we're not afraid to say, well, we went to the doctor, we had a checkup, and my blood pressure's this, and I weigh this much, and I went in, and they told me that I had shrunk an inch. I've been 5'10 as long as I can remember. And the gal's like, well, you're 5'9. I said, no, I'm 5'10. She said, no, you're 5'9. I said, well, you got to prove that to me. So she made me get back on it. I get off, and she's like, see, 5'9. I bargained with her, so I'm officially 5'9 and a half. And, you know, we don't have a problem talking about physical things, but we kind of struggle when it comes to our mental health. Nobody wants to talk about that. It's almost like it's well, you know, I've got something going on in my head, and I don't want to share that. I don't want anybody to think I'm just. So that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about mental health, the battle for the mind. The enemy is out to destroy our minds, rather control our minds, whether we want it to happen or not. We're in a fight. And we're reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and we're going to get right into this tonight. Paul is writing to the church in Romans. He says, I appeal to you, brethren, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So what we're doing tonight, we're presenting our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We want to be holy and acceptable, which is part of our spiritual worship. It's part of who we are. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed. A transformation must take place by the renewing of your mind. You got to change your thought patterns. This is what Paul is telling the people there in Rome. If you want to be transformed, it's not just transforming how you look on the outside, but something has to happen on the inside of your mind if you want to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And then he goes on to say that by testing, that word testing is thrown in there, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. But the question that we've asked in every one of these beginning of this series is what if I can't get there from where I'm at? What if I have prayed and I have fasted and I have sought God for this issue that I'm fighting and I just can't seem to get there because there's something inside of my mind that is blocking my ability to process life? So when we think about this, what if you did not possess the mental strength or abilities that you can discern what God's will is for your life? What if fear has a grip on humanity today? The world is afraid. There's a level of anxiety in our world today that probably it may have reached its peak or these peaks in times past, but never with this many people on the planet affecting so many people. We look at what depression and anxiety and stress can do to a person's life as it begins to take hold of our thoughts. Scripture tells us that as a man thinketh, so is he. So if our thought pattern is off base, but we don't know it's off base. Have you ever thought about that for a minute? Sometimes our thought patterns can be wrong, but to us, it seems to be the truth. So we're going to get into this tonight. We're just going to just dive right in, and I'm going to start off as I am not a psychiatrist. I am not a psychologist. I am not an expert in health or mental health issues. I'm just trying to bring some things to the forefront that our past struggles in our own family. I shared this the first two sessions that we talked about this. Many of you know my youngest brother, Steve, took his own life because he couldn't figure out how to deal with life. It was above his ability to handle. I don't want that to happen to anyone here or to anyone's families or anyone's loved ones or to a friend because it's very difficult. It's a very difficult, difficult time to have to navigate. And if you can avoid that, if we can avoid that. So let's look at some of the insights that may help you or help us to better understand, as Paul states about bringing all of our thoughts into captivity. Think about that statement just for a minute. How do we bring all of our thoughts into, when he says captivity, he's saying, bring all of your thoughts into a central control room and process them through biblical scriptural principle. How do we do that when our minds are running? So we're talking about those racing out of control thoughts. We're battling the feeling of perception. Hear me now. This is very, very critical when we're talking about dealing with how do I fight depression and how do I fight anxiety and how do I rid my life of the stress that's pushing so hard on me, is we're battling the feeling or perception that this situation we are involved in just might be true. Did you pick up on that? It just might be true. You see, as a man thinketh, so is he. Our minds are incredibly powerful at convincing us of things. We can perceive things that may not be true. We can conceive things that may not be accurate. We can conceive things that may be very, very far from reality, but in our perception, how we perceive it, how we bring it in, how we it moves around in our minds, how we process it in our minds, all of us could be faced with the exact same situation. And everyone here would react and respond differently because we process differently. That's the difficult part in this. You can have a family, a very functional family, and all of a sudden have a major malfunction, and everybody's going to process it differently. You look at a family, I look at in our family, there were three of us boys, and every last one of us boys, we were distinctively different. And our thought processes, our executive decision making inside of our brains were distinctively different. How I processed things was much different than how my brother John or my brother Steve processed things. We looked at it different. Thus, when we look at certain things as we grew up, what may have been a good experience for one was a bad experience for the other. Yet we experience the same thing. Why is that? Because we all look at things with a perception of this just might be true. In our minds, we think it is true. It may not be true, but we think it is. And as a man thinketh, then so is he. Boy, was that ever a powerful, prophetical proverb when that was stated. As a man thinketh, so is he. When we have a negative thought, something that stresses us out. So at the end of the day, your boss comes up to you, and he doesn't have to say anything. He just has his clipboard and he has an envelope on it. And he says, when you're done with your shift, when you're done punching out and cleaning out your truck, I want you to come see me in the office. Immediately we see the clipboard, we see the envelope, it's pink, and we're thinking, I am getting fired. Because that is what we are. Our mind is already in the center of our brain. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. There's this little almond-sized gland or portion of our brain, the amygdala, that goes into overdrive. And all of a sudden, this little center of our brain, the size of an almond, begins to communicate with our body. And our body gets into a mode of, it's fighting time. Either I'm going to fight or I'm going to run. So what happens is, as we're cleaning out our truck, we're throwing things around, and we're not cleaning out our truck. We're stuff we would keep, we're throwing in the trash, and maybe we're picking trash up and dumping it in the truck, thinking, I've worked here for 20 years, and they're going to do this to me on right before Thanksgiving holiday. They're going to fire me. I'll show them. And you go off on this whole crazy loop of thinking, and your stress level gets high, and as your immune system is suppressed, and a chain reaction begins to take place within our bodies. God created us this way so that when we saw a lion walking down the road, we would say, it's a lion, run. Not try to pull out a cookie and go feed it. We did some work here at the church this past week and some cleaning, and I come out of the bathroom in my office, and there's about an 8-foot-high grizzly bear standing right outside my door, a big cardboard cutout. And I looked at that, And I should have been surprised, but I heard some movement outside the door when I was in the bathroom. So I figured somebody's up to something, and they were. I'm not going to say if it was Jerry Simmons or not, but I'm assuming that it probably was someone of that stature. And there's this big grizzly bear. Now, if it would have been a little darker and he would have been a little quieter, my little almond in my brain would have kicked in. And all of a sudden, it would have been fight or flight. Do I charge this thing or do I run? Because you see, that's a natural process that happens. We can't stop that process from happening. That's why adrenaline, we feel that adrenaline in sports or maybe something that's happened to us, and we feel that our prefrontal cortex goes into high critical quick thinking, and our nervous system is on edge anticipating, and we're throwing things around in our truck because we think we're getting fired. We're anxious. Our sensation, this ongoing chemical dump into our bodies is creating a feedback loop sensation in our minds. So we're creating this loop in our minds, and we keep going in circles, and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and we can't break free from that thinking. That's all we can think about. All based upon a perception that it might be true. But we don't know yet. You don't know yet. So we look at this. We're anxious because we know perhaps it maybe it's true, but maybe it's not true. And we have fear and we have doubt and we have frustration and this anxiety. This is how it begins to form inside of our heads. It's all in here, but it's affecting the rest of our bodies. So we look at this. Our brain, our body algorithm, our operating sense, our system, our nerves, our cardiovascular system, all of these things get kicked into high gear because a little bitty thing in our brain the size of an almond begins to have an impact on our emotions and how we begin to think and process every situation that we deal with in life. We don't know if it's true, but it sure feels true because I've seen him with that clipboard before, and I've seen people walked out of here before. And this ongoing negative feedback loop, it can become mentally. You're exhausted mentally. You're tired physically. And I want to tell you something. If you're exhausted mentally and you're tired physically, it's not long after that that you become spiritually tired and exhausted as well. God created us in three parts. Remember our stool? He created us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We react because deep down inside we know maybe this isn't true, but it sure appears to be. And we end up battling against ourselves, and it can be exhausting at times. Have you ever gone to bed and your anxiety levels are so high that you feel like you're fighting with pit bulls while you're sleeping? And the covers are all over the floor when you wake up, and your pillow, you can't even find your pillowcase because somehow in the middle of the night you thrashed around enough that you lost your pillowcase. You say, well, I've never had that. I've had nights like that. This is experience talking to you. I've had frustrating nights. I've gone to bed frustrated. And you know what? When you go to bed frustrated, you usually don't wake up in perfect harmony. At least I don't. If you do, tell me your secret. When I go to bed and I'm frustrated and I wake up, and you may have slept, but you didn't sleep. You didn't get up restful. The time may have passed. 8 hours or 6 hours may have gone past, but you didn't get any rest. As soon as you wake up, your mind goes right back into that loop of anxiety, of frustration, of fear, of anger. Negative thoughts. Did you know they could even get worse when we fight or pray against them? You may say, "Well, what do you mean, Pastor? How do we fight this if we can't even pray against it?" Look at Jesus as a perfect example. He's on the mountainside. He tells his disciples, "You know what, guys? I got to get away a little bit because you're stressing me out. My frustration levels are getting up a little bit. You saw how I behaved myself in the temple. I chased everybody out with a cat of nine tails. I mean, I'm stressed." Now, he may not have said that, but maybe he was feeling that. And he says, "I got to get away. I got to get out. I got to separate myself from people." So he goes out into the mountainside and he goes on a 40-day fast. That is just like the pinnacle of spirituality. To say I fasted 40 days like Jesus did. And I prayed for hours and hours and hours a day. And who was there in his prayer room trying to get in his head? Who? The devil. Was right there on the mountainside with him, trying to tempt him. Trying to get inside of his head. That was Jesus. On a mountainside, 40 days of prayer and fasting, and the devil is right there trying to plant negative thoughts into his mind. Don't think you're going to be any better because you have a prayer room that you can seal off and close the door and no demons are allowed. You know how they get in there? They come in there with you in your head. Because as we begin to pray, and we go like, it's not our Father which art in heaven. It's, Lord, I've got this situation I don't know how to deal with. You know, the neighbor is coming against me, or the boss is coming against me, or I'm having this problem with my wife and my children. And we start thinking about our problem, and then we start going on and on and on. And before we know it, our anxiety level is raising. When it's supposed to be a calming effect and a feeling where we're just talking with Jesus in my prayer closet and there's nobody else there, just me and Jesus and the devil sitting right inside your ear telling you this and telling you that and feeding you this and feeding you that. And all of these fear-focused reactions ignite our fight-or-flight system, and it traps us in a constant negative feedback loop. That prayer doesn't always get you out of it. Sometimes, if we're not careful, and hear me out, okay, don't go stretching this one out and saying, "Pastor says if you're stressed, don't pray." I'm just saying he can use your anxiety and your prayer time as a tool against you. And you need to be aware of that. So when I talk about this, how do we go from negative anxiety stuck in this loop thinking to thriving thinking as Jesus would want us to think? How do we get there? So, have you ever driven down a road and you're driving along and all of a sudden you hit a pothole that just about launches you out into the ditch because it's like a pothole? You could park a Yugo in the thing. Or a little Lee car, or one of those little tiny little cars are now, little Fiats. I mean, we just down the road from us on County BB, Cottage Grove Road, there was a series of potholes, and I'm just like, this is, I mean, it was bad in the winter, and the spring came, it got worse and worse, and I mean, it's like this about blow your guts out when you pass over it. It's that bad. It's like, are you going to fix this? Come on, county, get with it. It got worse and worse and deeper. And then one day they fixed them. But you see, when it comes to life, sometimes roads of life can have potholes in them. And our first big clue or point of advice to break us free from this continual anxiety attack and malfunction within our thoughts is we must become aware of the potholes. It's that simple. It's not difficult. We know what trips us off. We're going to do a series that's coming after this one on triggers. And every one of us has triggers, things that people can do or say to us that trip us off. Sister Stephanie Thompson hates the word tick off. And we used to say, boy, that really ticks me off. And she would look at you with that Stephanie Thompson look. We all have things that tick us off and get us just right on edge. So what are the traps or the potholes that seem to be our typical reaction? For example, if we're stressed, is it my default all or nothing thinking? We're still back in the back of our van and we're cleaning it out and it's an all or nothing situation. We're determined we're getting fired because that's the way we're thinking today. We've had that kind of a week. The boss, yeah, he's ignored me for 2 or 3 days in a row now. There's something going on. And we begin to see life in black or white ultimatums. I ought to go in there right now and just throw these keys on the desk and say, I quit. I've given my left lung for this company. I've used worn out 4 pair of boots just pounding up and down the pavement for this company. And this is what I get for a payback. You fire me before the holiday. You see, we're beginning to see life in just black or white ultimatums. We begin to think it's just not going to work out. It's all going to fall apart. I'll never be good enough. You ever got into that thinking process when something happens and you're like, well, yeah, I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. That's one of those thought processes that we can get ourselves into that can be a continual trapped loop of thinking. And we go over and over and over again. Maybe we have a problem in our marriage, and because our marriage has a problem, then we think everything in life just plain stinks. Am I hitting a little bit home tonight? You're probably thinking, wow, I didn't realize I had any issues until tonight. May I just inform you that we all have mental health issues. We just don't all admit it. We're too prideful. We're stuck in a pride loop. But you see, you say, because I've been down this road before, I know where the potholes are. I'm trying to take and raise your awareness to just avoid the pothole. If you know that certain situations are going to trigger you, then just avoid it. I'm amazed at how many people watch the news and literally blow a gasket every time they watch the news. Can I just tell you something? Just stop watching the news. It's all propaganda anyway. Even the weatherman can't get it right, and it's sensationalized to who knows. It's like every storm is a storm of the year. how many blizzards were we supposed to get this year that we didn't even have enough to plow? I don't know how you guys do it, Josh, making a living. You guys, Brother Brad, I mean, you look on your weather app and it says 8 to 12 inches. You get your guys all fired up and you go out and you don't even get a quarter of an inch and it's slush. It's just everything today. It's all designed to just stress us out. It's not just wearing down the saints that's the problem. It's wearing down humanity. That's what the devil is trying to do. He's trying to grind us down. You know why? Because he only wants us listening to one voice in that stuck, stressed out feedback loop, and that's his. I don't want to listen to his voice. For first of all, his breath stinks. And he's always breathing right down your neck. So we say, I've been down this road before. I know where the potholes are. I knew where the potholes were on County BB. And after 3 or 4 days of about rattling myself off the road, my dash, my glove box flying open because of the potholes, I learned just steer clear of them. I can drive down the same road going home. All I got to do is slow down, turn my steering wheel a little bit, and I go right around the potholes. There's enough shoulder that if there's a car coming, I can go that way. If there's nothing coming, I've got plenty of room to maneuver around this pothole. But see, most of the time we get so focused in on the pothole, the pothole, the pothole. And what do? We run it right over. We're 5 minutes to, and I want to stop. You see, we're still in our van, aren't we? We never got out of our van. We're throwing stuff around. We're all upset. And we finally slam the door. We take the keys, wad them up tightly in our fist, and we're ready to go in and confront the boss. And we walk in with an attitude. The shop is empty. And we push open the door, and as the whole shop screams out, "Happy birthday," and begins to sing you happy birthday, and the boss gives you a birthday bonus. And you're thinking to yourself, oh my word, what just happened? Yeah, what just happened? I can tell you what happened. You begin to perceive something just based off of a clipboard and a pink slip. And your mind began to go. And you begin to get stressed out, and your anxiety levels begin to climb. And you're frustrated and you're angry because you're perceiving something to be true that may be, but perhaps it's not. This is what happens, folks, when we struggle with this. Now, this is kind of a little bit maybe of an exaggeration, but I've had a very similar situation happen to me, and you feel really, really, really stupid. And you walk out of there, and you're frustrated at yourself. Hear me now, okay? Please. You get frustrated at yourself. Thus, you begin to build another loop. The enemy's relentless. If he can't get you in one, he's going to get you in another one. Let's stand. So perhaps tonight you're sitting here and you're thinking, Pastor, you just read my mail. I know I did. I read my own mail. I shared my mail with some of you tonight. I've been there. I will be there again. Because we all deal with this. We all have stresses in life. We all have anxiety. You know what? If this is something that is beyond your control and you can't break through, there's nothing wrong with going to see a doctor. Just like if you've got a heart issue or you got a clogged artery. Brother John Brunker's going in Monday for surgery on his diaphragm. We've prayed that God would heal him. I'm believing God can still heal him. But you know what? Nobody's going to look and say, oh my goodness, John. Boy, that was a little. Did you sin? But for some reason, when somebody has something going on with anxiety and issues inside of our minds, we just go out there, don't we? No, you don't have to have it. It doesn't have to be a sin issue. It doesn't even have to be a backslidden that you're not. Maybe you're praying and fasting more than you've ever prayed and fasted, but you can't get there because the enemy's on the mountain with you and you can't get rid of them. So we're going to, just for a brief moment, I just want to, if you need prayer tonight, I just want to invite you to come up to the front as we begin to transition here from our service here to our business meeting. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up and set a table up here. So if you need to pray, I'm just going to ask you to come up to the sides. Okay, but I just want to close off in an opportunity for us to pray. Is that all right? Can we do that? And Sister Abby, I'm sorry. I didn't communicate this at the end here. I was going to transition right into, but I feel we need to just, we'll go 5 minutes, okay? So if you need to pray, if you need prayer, and you're like, I can't fight this, I don't want to fight this. Listen, you're not going to win the battle in one 5 minute prayer meeting, okay? But you can take and you can turn the tide. You can put yourself on the right path. It can illuminate the potholes in your life. So, Sister Abby, just go ahead and sing, Sister Abby, whatever you feel. And I'm just going to open up just for a few minutes. Let's just say, God, help me. I'm struggling. Help me to identify those things in my life that I just, right now, I just can't see. Go ahead, Sister Abby. Be starting our business meeting in about 5 to 7 minutes. If you're not going to stay for the business meeting, you can feel free to dismiss yourself. God bless you and thank you so much for coming. And we'll continue this on Sunday morning.